Welcome to Usufructuaries of Earth, a multi-chaptered project convened by Bach Basis for Aktuelle Kunst, together with artist and researcher Marwa Asanios. This project is inquiring into the practice of sharing the Earth's usufruct, based on an idea of collective usership instead of private ownership. And it consists of three chapters. First chapter is an exhibition with artworks by Marwa. A second chapter is a publication on Bach's online publishing forum called Prospections, which is really intended as a collective research and reading space and comes to life through reading groups in Amman, Berlin, and Rotterdam. And the third and culminating chapter is a convention with artists, thinkers, scholars, and activists and other social actors who are gathering together to share and learn on usufruct as a collective proposition. How can we actually together generatively and ethically use land, its earthly resources, and in so doing resist the colonial and economically extractivist logics that is so premised on possession? Now, this entire project is guided by Marwa's practice, and is really a coming together of different feminist, ecological and decolonial imaginaries and practices from very different communities in struggle that are all seeking to undo property from the grasp of private property. They are all asking, can we make the earth a common? So let's take a look at the exhibition of Marwa's artworks. And then we'll be able to see how she and her, throughout her own artistic work, has been inquiring into property and into how different grassroots organizing and feminist ways of living are showing real lived experiments of userships or usufructuaries of earth. So let's walk into the space, past the reception desk, and we stay on the ground floor. We just go underneath the mezzanine. And here we see several mounds of dirt. Actually, it's rubble. And this work is part of a body of work from 2016. Falling is not collapsing, falling is extending, which consists of this work as well as a series of drawings and a video. So to start with this work, these sculptures on earth, on this rubble, they are all topographical models of, exactly as the title of this work suggests, landfills, garbage mountains, and land extensions. And these are models of garbage dumps and landfills that are then formed into land extensions on Lebanon's coastline, which real estate developers have been, you know, building up, investing in to prospectively earn loads of money for selling this, what will be very desirable coastal land, literally built out of garbage as well as rubble of demolished houses. Marwa began this work after the so-called trash crisis in 2015, when, due to poor urban planning and political corruption, one of the landfills was closed and garbage then piled all throughout the streets of Beirut. So the residents of Beirut were literally living amidst garbage. And it was out of this dystopia that Marwa started researching the real estate interests tied up in all of this and the relation between urban waste and the acceleration of like a neoliberal takeover, each of which has wreaked havoc on Lebanon's environmental and social political fabric. And as you see, these models of these are not like this, they're very anonymized. They're kind of these tracts of land. And you see here as kind of vacant and unlived on, which is what they are. And it evokes a kind of unsettling settlement, a ruthless possession of land. Now, if we look at the drawings on the wall, this work is titled Resilient Weeds, and it splayed like an unfolded book, a reminiscent of a herbarium. And these are 40 drawings of plants, but also insects and other fauna, such as birds, which the artist, together with biologists, observed living and surviving on the garbage dumps and landfills. That, in spite of the obviously very adverse and noxious environmental conditions of these sites. And many of them, the plants especially, are species that also remediate the soil, cleaning it up of its pollution. So it gives a kind of hope of survival in spite of the paralyzing dystopia. Weeds here literally become a germination of possibility. So walking now to the studio space, this was Marwa's first attempt through filmmaking to address the appropriative logics of real estate. This is the work that is also called, same as the body of work, falling is not collapsing, falling is extending. And you see here trucks that are moving about the earth that are actually metabolizing the former garbage dumps and landfills by the coast into what will be extremely valuable land. And in this film, Marwa is also filming her own house where she grew up, which also gets demolished, and this we see in the film, only to become redigested, to become part of a lucrative real estate development plan, possibly for commercial and luxury spaces on Beirut's coastline. And it was actually during this time, during the time that she was making this work, that Marwa started speaking with feminist organizations that looked at forms of ecological feminism as a way to resist this kind of catastrophe. And this is how Marwa encountered the autonomous Kurdish women's movement, which precipitated the beginning of a new body of work, Who is Afraid of Ideology, which is the second body of work that composes this exhibition. So if we go back into the main space, still on the ground floor, let's go to the back wall. And on the left is the first film in the series, Who is Afraid of Ideology, which is an ongoing series of films that Marwa has been making since 2017. In this exhibition, we are showing all four films to date, and they're shown in dialogue with drawings, a tapestry, banners, and a silk screen. And these films all focus on feminist and decolonial struggles within lived practices of resistance against the war of private property. And part one was filmed in the remote mountains of Iraqi Kurdistan, and we hear fragments of conversation with women, guerrilla fighters, who are part of the Kurdish Autonomous Women's Movement, including Pelshin Toledan. She's talking about the intersection between ecology and feminism and how the movement has established a communal structure out of the conditions of war. And this movement is premised on a feminist ideology of genealogy that is based on an understanding that our social relation is contingent on a radical participation and coexistence with nature, and is also one that defies the logic of owning nature. And if we look to the right, if we go to now to part two, Who is Afraid of Ideology, part two, this actually shows very tangibly the example of a communal structure based on the it's a practices of genealogy. This is an all-women village in northern Syria, Rojava, where Marwa has stayed to learn about the ways these women and children are together collectively forming and developing their community and their relation with land. Their houses are built of the soil, and also shows how life depends on soil and the earth is in urgent need of ecological care, not only in terms of the human-soil relation, but through also the multiple human and non-human or more than human cohabitations that constitute the earth. And Marwa is spending time with them, following their daily activities, to be building this community of mutuality, a cooperative commons. Now, between these two projections, we see a hand-embroidered tapestry. It co-joins the work, and it is a work that is done in collaboration with a small organization of women called Sama, composed of women, many afflicted by Syrian war. And these tapestries are also sold, and this association receives a share, a microeconomy around the skills and the crafts of the women. Now we can go upstairs, taking the stairs on your right, looking towards the back wall. And we go to the far left corner of the mezzanine, facing the back wall. And this is Who is Afraid of Ideology Part 3, Micro Resistencias, Micro Resistances. And here in this film, you will see and also hear about the practices of women farmers from the indigenous Pijao community. And they are seed guardians, and they're living and working in the south of Tolima in Colombia. And they are cultivating and guarding seeds in order to redistribute them among their community. And in so doing, they're fighting the big state-backed corporations that want to privatize the seed, to claim intellectual property on seed cultivation. And Tolima is really a place of coffee plantations and sugarcane. But what these women farmers are doing, they are preserving seeds, but not in an accumulative manner. They plant the seeds and let the plants of themselves reproduce, and then they redistribute the seeds to the community. And in this case, it is also how the seeds become a form of micro-resistance against land expropriation by industrial agriculture. And so it's, you know, through their social relation to one another and to this practice of seed preservation, it's also a resistance to the devastating social, economic and ecological depletion caused by this agribusiness. And it's also interesting to note that this film came out of a convention that was done by Marwa with women farmers and ecological feminists in the context of the Vassal Biennale in 2019. And it was during this convention that part one and two were shown, and Grupo Semillas, the organization working with indigenous farmers in Tolima, had been invited to this convention. And after seeing the first two films, they proposed to Marwa to visit them and to think about making a film. So this film is produced for their movement and allowing ideas and struggles to circulate. And directly on the wall left of the film is a constellation of small, delicate ink on paper drawings of seeds and bacteria. And they're a kind of testimony that something as small as a seed can proffer resistance, and perhaps moreover on a microbial level, they refute an imposition of borders. On this level, there is no such thing as enclosure and capture. If we turn and go now to Who is Afraid of Ideology, Part 4, Reverse Shot, it's the last film currently in the series. This film takes place in the north of Lebanon, and it looks at the reappropriation of land through existing property law that is actually based on a practice of common use, not ownership. Now, the category of the common means it is neither private or public, but it's a third category. The legal means of such a common land tenure in Lebanon and also Palestine has existed historically, and it's still practiced today, and it's known as al-masha. And this involves cooperative agrarian labor and redistribution of what the land produces. It is really a practice of collective usufruct. So this film is an attempt to turn a private land into a common and to rehabilitate it and work it collectively. And she's also interweaving her research, looking into the history of Al-Mashaa, and asks through this film, what can be taken from this practice to define a relation to land that undermines, that undoes the ideology of individuated possession and land enclosure, which has been so fundamental to a kind of colonial appropriation of land in the region. Before we go downstairs, we can see a scattering of books on these viewing platforms. We really see this as a space also to invite you to take a moment to browse through some of the books. These books are related to Marwa's research, and they grapple with notions of undoing property, practices of doing so, whether it's through a complete abolition of property, or it's looking at legal histories of property, or the kind of colonial implication and the intersection of property law and racial logics. Many of these authors will also be participating in the Usufructuaries of Earth Convention at BUC on 24th, 25th of May 2024. From here, still remaining on the mezzanine, we can look down toward the banners which we encountered at the entrance. And these are really a kind of chart of usership that the artists made together with the Farming Cooperative Soils Permaculture Association in Lebanon, who she also worked together with on the film Reverse Shot. And so these charts hang together with the fourth film, and it's a kind of score or a protocol. It describes practices of usership. For example, the land shall not be sold. The land shall only be used for agricultural purposes. The land shall not be inherited. And it should only be used by people who do not own land. And this is also based on the research Marwa did into the historic land codes of Al-Mashaa, to be able to understand better the inheritance of certain legal concepts that have defined land and property. And in a similar way, the silk screen hanging on the left wall from the fourth film, it's a large silk screen on canvas, and this is mapping the concepts that are related to legal and ecological terms evoked in the film. And we see both in the silk screen and in the chart of usership, the banners, really fine contoured lines underscoring both of these works, creating a fragmented topography of a landscape. And this landscape is escaping the clutches of extractive ownership. Thank you so much for listening. I really hope you'll be able to take time to engage with all the works, and possibly also to engage with the project's other chapters, for example, the digital reader emerging on Prospections, and or the convention taking place 24th, 25th of May, which will be involving really an incredible group of people, including Marwa Asanios herself. So I hope to see you then. Bye.